Welcome to the Upshot subscriber bonus segment this week. Thank you so much for being a subscriber and coming behind the paywall with us. Steve Hill from the PDGA and former host here on the Upshot rejoins us. And Steve, what we'd like to talk about here is a little bit of a future forward-looking PDGA scenario. And, you know, obviously you can say what you can say.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that you can be maybe kind of look into the crystal ball a little bit, even if there's not things that are like on the books right now, but you think about, okay, like writing on the wall, here's what I expect to see from the PDGA going forward. And I want to start with the National Tour.
Yeah.
Obviously, the tour is off this year because of COVID and an unfortunate schedule, basically. And it's all going to be, you know, it's set up right now that the events are going to roll over into 2021. Given what you know right now, is that still the plan? And what do you expect to see from the National Tour going forward, given that, you know, things have been changing? The Pro Tour has been really successful to start the year. Missing a year of the National Tour, maybe people don't miss it that much. I'm just curious to hear what you think about the future of the National Tour, both next year and beyond.
Yeah, I think obviously 2021 is in the books still because we have these events that didn't get to run this year. You know, we were super excited to kick the season off at Texas State's, get a new venue on there, you know, close it out with a new spot at Music City. So we want to see those events come to fruition. Beyond 2021, I will say I don't know yet. I think you know, the Pro Tour right now, really this is a big opportunity for the Disc Golf Pro Tour to show that they can, you know, be sustainable, put out a good product, keep running successfully. And I think eventually, you know, I'd be lying if I said that down the road I wouldn't be surprised if there was a merger, if you will, of some type where the Disc Golf Pro Tour was the touring entity for the PDGA. You know what I mean? That would absolutely not surprise me. And then I think, you know, what it could do, obviously it would be a partnership, right? And then that gives the PDGA the resources to really A, support the Pro Tour, but then B, put more into the majors. And it would kind of get us more toward that PGA Tour / PGA type of situation. You know, I don't know how long that's going to take, but it wouldn't surprise me if that is the eventuality, because I think what we're seeing now is with new leadership and you know, new ownership on the Pro Tour, by and large, it's been very successful. I love personally working with Jeff Spring and Mahmood and all those guys. They're great partners. They work well with us. We work well with them. And so, you know, if they can continue to be successful and keep doing their thing, I could easily envision a future where they're the main, you know, pro scene in town. But you know, at the same time, there are some really classic events on the National Tour, right? So those are the big questions to answer. If you did have a merger, what do you do with Masters Cup? What do you do with Beaver State Fling? Things like that, because, you know, the Pro Tour is all about the live model. Mm-hmm. How do you unwind that in those places where live isn't really a possibility yet? And that would obviously have to be something that would be discussed down the road if and when that comes to fruition.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because at this point, Masters Cup is the tournament and the venue that has been played the most on the National Tour over its
35 years, I think. 34, 35. Well, not on the National Tour, 34, 35 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the longest running NT.
I think 15 years on the National Tour. 15 out of 17, I want to say.
Yeah, it's pretty high up there. And Beaver State's probably more than 10 years.
Yeah, I did actually make a spreadsheet about this, I could tell you. And then Memorial was the longest running one until it went to the Pro Tour. But, you know, that is a very good question on how do you deal with that. Sort of kind of looking at that crystal ball, I mean, the Pro Tour really gets like a running start into this season, especially Disc Golf Network with a subscriber, a paid subscriber channel where they're going to have all this money now to put into the tour. And I guess my question is, based on your experience at the PDGA and how you see the priorities being laid out in this, I guess, I don't know if you can call it an administration, because I don't know if you put everybody in there at once. You kind of do board of directors and then executive director separately and all that. But how willing do you think the people that are currently in these positions of power at the PDGA are going to be to put more money into a national tour or majors or one or the other? Because the Disc Golf Pro Tour is going to keep getting more money, and they're going to be able to translate that to on the course look and do all these other things. Frankly, like, can the PDGA convince the membership that that level of expenditure is a good idea?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I think it's going to come down to what is best for membership. And so if we get to a point where it's best for our membership to have the Disc Golf Pro Tour function as they are, and case in point, Disc Golf Network right now, you get a discount on that if you are a PDGA member. So if that continues to be part of the partnership, if it's beneficial for members in that way, maybe it makes sense to take our dollars and put them into, more of our AM majors or more of our pro majors and make those be the big things. Really, I think that'll just kind of depend on, I think kind of what you're saying is like, if the Pro Tour keeps succeeding, can the PDGA keep up with the National Tour? Is that kind of essentially what you're asking?
And is it worth it?
Right. And so I think it'll just kind of depend. I that's why I think the future really does look like the Pro Tour being its own thing, working with us in partnership. Obviously, we would be working with them on scheduling and promotion. And, I'm sure like we would have staff go to some events and stuff like that if we get to that point. So I do think it just really depends on what is the best for PDGA members. Is that do members want us to put more money into NTs to make them look like something, or do members want us to work with the Pro Tour and support them and get some benefits for members on the media front, and then be able to say, hey, you know what, we're gonna go bust out a huge major and put resources into that. So really, that's a question I can't answer at the moment, just because that'll take more talking with membership and everything like that. But, I think really that's what it boils down to. If it's not good for membership, it doesn't make sense to keep, having to play catch up if we were in a scenario where we felt like we had to play catch up.
You referenced the majors, and we know that the board has basically given the thumbs up to the idea of a creation of a fourth major. And so this is still in the works. Now things may be delayed because of this year's COVID backup, I guess.
Right.
But, looking ahead to 1, 2, 3 years from now, when theoretically we're going to get to a fourth professional major, how do you see that fitting? What's your vision? If you could draw it up yourself, how would you like to see those majors laid out? Do you want to see them in one place? Do you want to see them rotating? Do you want to see them at different times of the year? Like, four majors seems like it's going to be a reality eventually. So from what we know from the PDGA so far, so how do you see this from a fan perspective, looking like the best situation?
Yeah, if I can take off my PDGA employee hat for a second and just talk as a human or as a fan, like you said, I think to me, I would love to see it be generally in the spring if we can, because I think that would make the most sense with where the rest of the majors are. You try and get Pro Worlds wherever the tour flow goes. You've got USDGC in the fall on the East Coast. You've got European Open in the summertime. So, you know, spring does have a little more of that window. That said, the downside to spring would be that if the tour stays in its current format, it really does restrict it to only certain regions, right? So in that regard, like personally, I would love to see us get to a point where we can have a springtime major, but that maybe the tour like actually changes up a little bit of the flow. Maybe it doesn't always start on the West Coast. Maybe we flip it around and we start the tour in Florida or something. You know what I mean? Like you could start the tour earlier in the year in Florida, move along the Sun Belt, and then get to the West Coast swing, and you can fit a few different events in there in some different places with a little more weather and schedule flexibility. So personally, that's what I would like to see. And then I think, you know, the other thing is it's got to be, you know, maybe slightly different in terms of format. Maybe there's an element of, maybe there's a match play element to it, or maybe there's some other kind of scoring format that is different just to differentiate it, because I think that's the big thing. And, you know, that we do kind of miss right now in pro disc golf is we have all these great events. We have these great venues, but by and large, it's all just singles play, and that's cool. But like, what if we changed it up a little bit? And, you know, like we used to have the Players Cup, right? Like that was more of a match play championship. I think it would be fun to have a different format in there just for the sake of a little bit of variety. And that would make that major stand out a bit more.
I would love to see doubles play. I mean, the PGA Tour did it a couple years ago, the Zurich Classic that plays at TPC Louisiana, and by all accounts it's been a very successful, like that course has since put a lot of money into remodeling and becoming harder because of the success of that format changing. So golf fans are into it, and I know, you know, we all know they're way more traditional than disc golf fans.
Oh man, a pro doubles that wasn't just like an exhibitionary thing or a mixed, like a pro divisional doubles, right? Like two MPO players matched up against two MPO players instead of mixed doubles. Like we do mixed doubles at Worlds and it's a lot of fun and people really like it. But I think a divisional doubles would be, people would gobble that up.
Well, let me follow up on that, because it's something that I've been kind of rolling around in my mind, especially kind of in context of the Disc Golf Network expanding live and it being pretty successful so far, is like disc golf, the single stroke play is the hardest type of golf to cover. But the PDGA already has putting world championships and world doubles championships that have been running at Worlds for a whole bunch of years. I'm sure not the entire time that there's been a world championship, but I'm sure most of it goes back further than I know. But it feels like a side game, you know, or like a little just, oh, you can, you know, hop over here and do that if you want to.
Right.
Is there any world that we see that put on more of a stage, given that it would be somewhat easier to capture? I mean, especially like a world putting contest, you could do a live stream of that relatively easily compared to what we already do. Why aren't we hyping that more, would you think?
I think some of that is just our current structure and resources. I think as the PDGA grows and has more staff that can focus on making some of those into bigger events, not just side events, I think we will see that eventually. And again, that's another one of those things. Maybe that ends up being an ancillary benefit of, you know, if DGPT one day takes over. And I want to clarify on this. Like, I think that's a more of a long-term vision. I don't expect that to happen like super soon or anything. So I don't want people listening to this segment to be like, oh my God, the National Tour and the Pro Tour are merging tomorrow. It's definitely a long-term outlook, I think. But maybe that is a benefit. Like, again, that's another thing where if we have our events team or our media team, like myself, if we have six fewer events to travel to, and expend our financial and staff resources on, maybe we can put things into, like you said, like maybe making World Putting Championship a bigger thing. I think that would be great. I, man, one thing that I really wanted to do, and that I may try and get done next year still, is I want to do, instead of, you know, for field events, you have the long drive, right? At Worlds. What I actually want to do is I would love to take that, move it to after Worlds instead of before, so you would get more players participating, because a lot of times you don't get the big dogs out there because they don't want to hurt themselves or anything before Worlds. Move it to after Worlds and turn it into more of a home run derby style exhibition event that would be perfect for live streaming and things like that. And so some of that, again, is just making sure we have the financial and staff resources to pull that stuff off. But I will say, like, one of my pet projects, what I would do, like, if my job didn't entail going to six national tour events, I would absolutely love to become kind of the guy who, like, takes our tournaments and works on turning them into events, like getting bands there to play after the final putt drops, and bringing in more of that festival type atmosphere, similar to what the Pro Tour has done in the past with the festival and everything like that. Being able to do some of those more, you know, exhibition type side events that will get people out and watching it at the course, because that's one of the biggest things that I love about this job, is like, it's a huge difference between watching on screen and watching in person. And if we can get more people out there and get them attracted to coming out there for these other events and the disc golf, I think really that's where we can see some more growth.
I don't even think it's just about having other events. I think it's about improving the experience of being at a disc golf tournament during the rounds.
Yep.
You know, there needs to be food, there needs to be drinks, it needs to be at multiple places on the course. You probably want to have bleachers. You need to have more signage. It needs to be more professional. It needs to feel like you're at an event and not
Absolutely.
Just rolling up to a park, which is what it feels like 80% of the time, even for very important major tournaments.
Yeah, and some of that's just the venues that we work with, right?
Sure.
Like, it's going to take getting more places like this Preserve, or getting more Smugs, or getting more Emporia Country Clubs on board, but then still finding those venues that capture what disc golf is. I think the controlled venues right now, by and large, are golf courses, and that's the one drawback of them.
Right, because of the nature mm-hmm. of their actual golf course.
Yeah.
What's the next position that the PDGA needs to hire? Let's, you know, excluding COVID
yeah.
issues. When the PDGA hires its next employee, what should be their role?
That's a great question. I think we're going to see probably another person focused on youth and education, because I think that could absolutely be a more than one person job. We have Des Redding right now, who's our youth and education coordinator, but that's such a big job in terms of being able to get out there and do outreach and pound the pavement. It wouldn't surprise me to see that. It would not surprise me to see us getting a more dedicated, like, sponsorships and partnerships type person. You know, we that could be a big role to fill. Those would be my top two if I had to guess off the top of my head. But I think you know, there's still plenty that we could work on growing in terms of the marketing and outreach component of the organization that I think we have some opportunities for there. You know, modernizing our look and feel a little bit more, you know, with in-house graphics and video and things like that would be really helpful as well. So we definitely still have some places where we can grow, for sure.
Kind of along those lines, I'm interested in the couple of years that you've been over the PDGA now, have you seen a major shift in sort of the wants and needs of the overall community? And I know it's tough to talk in broad strokes because a lot of different members, you know, think you should do different things with their membership money. But has it been relatively the same? Has it changed a lot, a little? What's kind of your take on that?
I mean, there's a pretty good cross section of feedback we get. There's the people who think that the PDGA should have been on ESPN yesterday and we should have put all our resources into getting on network television. And then there's the people who could care less about us having media and just want to play more tournaments and want to compete and want to go out and get their ratings and do everything like that. So I haven't seen a huge shift. I mean, obviously there's been more of an appetite for media, but I don't think that's come at the expense of other desires. I think people want to play more. They want value out of their membership and they want to see the sport continue on this path that it's on. Some people are a little more patient than others. Some people, are, you know, fine with where the sport is. So it's pretty interesting. We do get a pretty good mix of feedback.
Coronavirus obviously disrupted a bunch of this season tournaments, but at the same time, we've seen at least anecdotal evidence of a lot of new players, and people are reporting seeing lots of beginners at their courses. You're hearing about really strong, in some cases, record demand for manufacturers. Stuff is selling out right and left when people are dropping new discs. And so, you know, despite the fact that we're in the midst of this pandemic, things are actually looking really rosy for disc golf. So how do you capitalize on this going forward, Steve? How do you turn this from a, you know, what might be a blip where it's like a bunch of people play disc golf for a couple months because it's convenient and that's all there is to do, and then they say, well, that was fun, but now I'm going to go back to going to baseball games or whatever else they do. And how do you turn this into a sustainable, you know, strong piece of growth as things start to come back to some semblance of normalcy?
Man, that's a fantastic question. And I think, you know, I think right now it's just making sure that new disc golfers, that we can get in front of them and get some awareness that the PDGA is a thing. I mean, I will be the first to admit, man, like, and I think you guys probably know this is a problem too. Like, one of the biggest challenges we have as the PDGA is truly just people knowing we exist. So many people know what disc golf is, right? There's, you know, you go to, it's popping up in more parks. People know more about it. Going back to what Jamie said, one of the big shifts I've seen in my few years in disc golf is just the knowledge of what disc golf is. That said, there's still a lot of people who don't know what the PDGA is and what we do. And so trying to capitalize on that right now with some of our, you know, I mentioned in the main show, some of the outreach we're trying to do, whether it's on social media or through clubs, trying to hit up some more, you know, local shops and things like that, just to let people know that there is a PDGA and this is what we do. And I think what we do really well is we do competition and we do tournaments and getting people into running tournaments. We've really enhanced our resources for tournament directors and being able to run the show a little easier. So I think that's part A of that, is showing, hey, we do competition. If you want to compete, this is where you can go. But then the other part of that is I do think we need to work on enhancing what your membership can get you and letting people know what your membership can get you. If you listen to those board of directors interviews, I brought it up in every one, and you guys know this about me. I wasn't a PDGA member until I got this job. I wasn't a tournament player. I was the guy who went out on weekdays or weekends with my friends, but I wasn't going to go and grind out a 4 or 5 hour tournament. It's just not my thing. I still don't really play tournaments, but I've always loved disc golf as soon as I got into it. Or else I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't have written about it. I wouldn't have done anything with disc golf. One of my things that I'm always thinking about is how do I get to those people who were like me, and what can I do to appeal to them to say, hey, you'd love disc golf. Maybe you're not going to play tournaments, but what can we do to get you on board? Because obviously having more members is just going to make our bargaining power better in the long term. It's going to make us more attractive to sponsors. It's going to make the sport more legitimate. And so part of that, I think, is trying to continue to add pieces to our membership structure and our membership benefits. And I would actually love to see us get to a point where we have another membership level, a lower cost entry level type membership where, you know, maybe it's $15 and you say, hey, you know, you don't want to play tournaments, but you want to support disc golf getting into schools and you want to support us getting international programs going and you want to make sure that we're going to still have really awesome media coverage, then this $15 membership, this supporter membership is for you. And when you're ready, you can upgrade that to be a tournament player and get that tournament playing membership. That's really what I would like to see as kind of one of the next enhancements that we make to the process. Because I think there are a lot of people out there who know what disc golf is and want to be a part of it. And if we can hopefully capitalize on that a little bit more, it's only going to be a good thing.
Awesome. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. I feel like we could just go on and on. I could just ask a million more
questions. Sorry, guys. I talk a lot. It's this whole podcasting thing. You get into just talking.
That's what it's about. That's pretty much what it is. It's talking.
Just got to have him back. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah. Thanks so much. It's been great. And now you got to put us on PDGA Radio sometime.
Dude, let's do it. Like it is kind of criminal that we have not done the crossover episodes yet. So let's plan it. Let's do it. Let's chop it up and we'll just we need more collaboration among the whole media sphere, right? Let's make it happen.
Totally. All right. Well, thanks very much, PDGA.
Thank you, guys.
Communications Manager Steve Hill with us here on our subscriber bonus segment on The Upshot. Thank you, Steve. And thank you to all of our subscribers. For Jamie Thomas, I'm Charlie Eisenhood saying so long. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.